Man.
Welcome to America Tonight. A lot happening outside and in and around D.C. And, of course, the true insiders from Talk Radio News join us right at the top to tee it up. Ellen Ratner, always fun to chat with Ellen. She's the grand dame, as I am fond of saying. Ellen, it is very, very busy, no joke. And a big story that broke is this Keystone Pipeline. Wow, the House passed a bill that approves the northern leg of this, apparently. So that kind of rips the decision out of the hands of the president, am I right?
You're absolutely right. And, well, I mean, he can still somehow try and stop it, but it also has to get through the Senate. And it will need the 60 votes to get through the Senate, so I'm not so sure it's going to happen.
Yeah, the vote at the House vote was 241-175, but I would agree with you. The Senate might be trickier because there's plenty of people that are on the fence, even really on both sides, a few Republicans and definitely Democrats, so they might not get that 60.
Right.
Yeah. All right, some other things happening, and this is something that sort of was pushed back on the shelf, I guess, because of all the other so-called scandals that were happening in Washington. But what's the latest on Benghazi? That's not going away.
Benghazi is definitely not going away. And it turns out that Daryl Issa, who runs the House Oversight Committee, had tried to get an ambassador who helped write this report on Benghazi, Ambassador Pickering, to talk and do a deposition. He subpoenaed him. Well, Ambassador Pickering said, I'd rather talk before the entire committee openly. They said no. But finally, I guess Ambassador Pickering is willing to testify, you know, under oath, but essentially a deposition. And then ISA withdrew his subpoena.
All right. I said we kind of skipped through the other scandals going on, but the IRS hearings were interesting because Lois Lerner took the fifth. And so not really much happened out of that because
of it. No, she did take the fifth, and she might be willing to testify if they give her immunity. She also said she did nothing wrong, so I don't know why she needed to take the fifth, but for some reason she did. And at this point, that's what happened.
Yeah. Are you kidding me with this story? I saw it this morning when I woke up, but it was in the New York Times about this sergeant at West Point accused of videotaping a dozen female cadets. Ellen, what is wrong with the military? What are they saying in Washington?
Well, I mean, it is just, it's very disturbing. And you know, my partner went to the Air Force Academy.
Yeah.
There was no problem in those days. But I have to tell you, you have all this stuff coming out, and they were worried about a few gay people in the military? I mean,
yeah.
Give me a break.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is. I know a lot of people in the military that are really upstanding, I'll say guys, some of the guys I know, and they're mortified by all of this, absolutely.
Horrified.
Yeah.
I mean, you cannot make some of this stuff up.
I know. All right, the tornado in Oklahoma, the president, is he coming down to tour?
He is going to be there on Sunday. Today, Janet Napolitano, Homeland Security Secretary, went. She took the head of the Red Cross. $2 billion worth of damage with a B. Now, that may not seem like a lot of money since we spend trillions, but for a town of that size in Oklahoma, it's a lot of money. And then, of course, we have the two senators taking very sort of opposite views on the relief bill. Coburn, who's a physician, is better known as Dr. No, up at the Capitol, said, well, you know, he still believes there ought to be offsets. And Senator Inhofe said, well, this bill was different because it wasn't a Christmas tree bill filled with things like he believed Hurricane Sandy was.
Yeah. Last thing, the older bomber of the Sarnaev brothers apparently is linked to some pretty nasty killings that happened.
Yes, there was a killing of three people, I think two of them Jewish, one of them a friend of this guy's, who, and Sarnoff did not go to his funeral, even though he was supposedly a friend of his. They killed these three people. They put marijuana on them. And some people believe that he was angry for selling his younger brother marijuana. In any case, the FBI interviewed a guy who they believe was part of the murders, and the FBI actually wound up killing him because I guess he lunged at the FBI guy with a knife. And so now they're saying that the Sarnoff brothers was definitely linked, or at least the older one was.
Wow. Ellen Ratner, have a great holiday, and as always, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
All right, I think some of the big stuff that came out of that conversation with Ellen has to do over the West Point sergeant who was teaching cadets. Imagine that. So you're shaping the minds of the future of the military. And he's been accused of doing that videotaping thing. In fact, let me give you some more specifics. It was about 12 or so female officers. Did it without their consent. Times when they were in the shower, they're saying. They're not even probably telling us all the whole story. At this point, the Army did confirm it, that they filed the charges against the sergeant. It's first class, Sergeant First Class Michael McClendon is his name. And, of course, this is military, so under four articles of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. And what would that carry? Well, we're talking about cruelty and maltreatment, indecent acts, dereliction in the performance, rather, of duty and actions prejudicial to good order and discipline. So that gobbledygook just means the guy's a creep, and they're nailing him with every single thing they can possibly throw at him, throwing the military book and then some at him. Not good news, though, on top of all of the other things that we've heard with what happened in the Air Force and talking about harassment issues and sexual assaults. This is a very bad 2 weeks. McClendon is somebody who had been assigned to West Point since 2009. He was transferred to Fort Drum, New York, last week. He took these pictures and videotaped the woman in various states of undress, and it happened all the way through May of 2012. How did he get access is what, you know, is what I want to know. How did he get to the women's bathroom with being able to tape them and getting in and out of the shower? I mean, there's definitely some questions that come to mind immediately. And this is somebody who was in charge of 125 of those cadets. You can imagine Chuck Hagel, a streak of blue, I'm certain, came out of his mouth, the defense secretary, when he was briefed on this, because this is the fourth strike. Fourth thing that happened in a row. Of course, there are wonderful people who serve in the military who, as I said to Ellen, people that I know, are so upset by this. They're so upset by anybody in the uniform doing this and trashing the business of serving, because that's what's happening here. Others could argue, you know what, this is what you get with females. I don't think you can say that, because the problem is you're dismissing it. You're being too dismissive when you say that. But it's obviously a very, very big problem, probably across the board in different areas of the military. So, you know, Cop Barty is throwing in his two cents. He says, dishonorable discharge, you wait and see. And I'm going to have to agree with him. They want this guy gone. You have to think of the people that serve in the military. There are good people. There are people who are rotten to the core, because it's a microcosm of society, just like we see in all walks of life. But I know they're very, very upset. That's what I heard coming out of a source out of the Pentagon, says this has really just blown the roof off of that place. Stay with us. More on the 5th on the flip side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it. With what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts, if you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
After very careful consideration, I've decided to follow my counsel's advice and not testify or answer any of the questions today. I will not answer any questions or testify about the subject matter of this committee's meeting.
We will take your refusal as a refusal to testify. The witness and counsel are dismissed.
Boy, there's a whole lot of gotcha, and I won't answer, and don't you know what's underneath the covers going on in Washington, D.C. So that was Lois Lerner that we talked about at the top. She's the IRS representative who wouldn't testify at the House hearing. And, of course, now what happens if someone pleads the Fifth? What are you thinking's going on? Because they don't want to lie. Did the IRS target the Tea Party, the Patriots, anything along those lines, conservative groups, in other words, when they were applying for the tax-exempt status, all of that taking place for the most part, all that paperwork shuffling through Cincinnati? The answer is, of course. She said she hadn't revealed the information sooner because she was never asked. That's crazy. So how long did she know? But 2 days before the ABA conference where she was asked about the investigation, that had to be a plant, right? She said she didn't come out with it because of, you know, the reason why is because she wasn't told she should do that or whatever. So the thing is, she admitted that they selected cases simply because the application had those names in the title. She said that, so we know that to be true. Joe Crowley, congressman from New York, Democrat, asked her if she could comment briefly, just anything, give us something on what the investigation is now into these political nonprofits. And she said, well, there's a questionnaire that began this discussion, and there's a questionnaire out there that is seeking info from 501c3 organizations. And, you know, he said, listen, you're being evasive. The bottom line is you can't lie to Congress. And, you know, this is a woman who's had a long career in government. In the 90s, she was the chief of enforcement at the Federal Elections Commission. And the FEC at the time had the largest enforcement action ever in their history. You know what they did? You remember this? They sued the Christian Coalition for violating campaign laws. The Christian Coalition ultimately won, but this has popped out now. In one of the depositions, the FEC lawyers asked one of the defendants if televangelist Pat Robertson prayed for him, and then they went through the whole rigmarole of that, the back and forth over that. So there's a little bit of a history here, to be sure, if you look into the background. So Lerner's lawyered up, and she's represented by Bill Taylor, who is known for winning a dismissal of all charges against former IMF director Dominique Strauss-Kahn. Remember that huge case in New York, the sexual assault case, supposedly attacking the maid? And that this is the guy who had to give up the reins at IMF and was stuck in New York. And then they went through a lot of hoops to get him off. So this is the same lawyer. She just keeps pretty much saying, I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't broken any laws. I haven't violated any IRS rules or regulations. And I'm not providing any kind of false information to this congressional committee or any other ones. But, of course, because taking the fifth. So what do you take the fifth for? You don't want to be prosecuted. How could she not know that what she was doing was illegal, especially because it was very targeted? And not only did she admit this, but other people admitted it too. So you have evidence of this, and I suppose in a timeline they're going to go back and figure out a way to unravel this. But I think the pressure has to be on to get to the bottom of what happened with the IRS. And by the way, it wasn't just conservative groups, although it was mostly conservative groups. Kind of makes me think that, oh, let's throw in a few progressive groups so it looks good. But, you know, even the most liberal of liberals cannot say that this wasn't botched. It's just another stupid thing. Why not just let them have the tax-exempt status if it was legitimate? And there might have been groups that wouldn't have gotten it, for goodness sake, and that's fine. Why target them? And the answer makes you think, well, you know, the election, money. Because if you remember the last presidential election, oh, not too far ago, the whole thought was it's about money. The person with the most money wins because they're going to bombard the negative ads. It's going to be out there everywhere. And there is a chance that maybe, just maybe, Obama would lose because of the wall-to-wall ads that would be pumped out across America, especially television-wise, but radio and newspaper, billboards, any, you know, pick your poison as far as advertising is concerned. So the more money that's raised, all of that sort of thing. And in this case, it's a controversy that is not a created by the Republicans controversy. I just don't think you can say that. The House Oversight and Government Reform Committee should hear this, should investigate the IRS for this, should throw some scrutiny onto the three dreaded letters. And it's so easy to beat them up too, isn't it? For me, the IRS is a soft target. For all of you, the IRS is a soft target because there's so much we don't like about it. You know, not every government agency is part of the evil empire where we just think, ah, the giant machine. I mean, maybe some of you do. But in the case of the IRS, it's almost across the board how everybody feels about it. I mean, really, it is. The interesting thing for me is I know four people that work in an IRS office. And some of the things that they have told me off the record are just mind-boggling and more to do with government waste, that there's so much overlapping of jobs and it's ineffective and not efficient and all that sort of thing. So taking the fifth Lois Lerner, the head of the IRS unit, that decides they get to be, she gets to be Solomon, whether to grant tax-exempt status to groups. That's why we care about that. Just sitting there on Capitol Hill at the committee hearing on what the IRS did, and did they give the extra eyes, the extra shakedown to conservative groups that applied for that tax-exempt status. And to that question, I would say it again. How can you not think that that was happening? Of course it was happening. There's 500 groups, for goodness sake. 500 groups pretty much trashed, told that they have to wait longer, told they had to answer many more questions, you know. So it wasn't right. Somebody should pay for it. I agree. Is anyone going to pay for it in the end? Probably not. Probably not. Is the White House in a damage control sort of mode because of these back-to-back scandals? No. Why? Because the approval ratings are just over 50, so that's still in the good range for the president, and a lot of people aren't really blaming the president. They're blaming other areas of government, like the Department of Justice, in fact, heaping it on Attorney General Eric Holder, which, for my money, I'm cool with that. I thought he was a liability to Obama 3 years ago. He should have pink-slipped him anyway. So Holder, whose department is being looked into anyway for the AP records, is saying that the Justice Department is launching an investigation into what happened with the IRS. He claimed last week he had to recuse himself from the leak investigation because, you know, with the phone records and all that other sort of stuff. And the deputy attorney general handled the investigation instead. So he said he was out of it. He wasn't in the loop with that. And the White House press secretary, once again, when bombarded with questions about the attorney general, said that the president has confidence in all of his team and in Holder and is not concerned about the separate IRS issue. And last week we did this thing where we ranked the scandals. I mean, which is the worst? I don't know. Let's say you pick three. Then, well, now the military, I'd throw that in there too. So military, Benghazi, AP, or the IRS. What was the worst? And a lot of you agreed with me and said the AP scandal. And the reason is because you have to have a free press so you can scrutinize what's really happening with elected officials, or else our battleship is sunk. Because then we might as well live in a place where we have state-run media. What is fed to us is what the only thing we'll get. And boy, a lot of leaks are drying up because of the shakedown at the AP going through those phone records. Going to introduce you to a fascinating man who's a screenwriter and has written about his experiences with his son. That's next.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best selling liquid CalMag vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
The location, Denver Convention Center. Timeline, June 27th through 29th, 2013. The event, the Doomsday Expo. Our world and nation are changing. It's time for an educational experience that will enlighten you and the entire family at the Doomsday Expo, June 27th, 28th, and 29th at the Denver Convention Center. Check out the latest survival products, learn valuable survival techniques, meet other preppers, and meet guest speakers, including Dr. Joel Wallach, Scott Hunt, Jay Blevins, and more. Boost your knowledge with seminars on natural disaster preparedness, long-term prepping, survival gardens, self-defense, off-grid living, and financial planning. Ladies will get a valuable female perspective on family defense and preparedness. There's even a casting call for Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers, and everyone will enjoy the first dry food cook-off. Tickets are just $14 for all 3 days and a Saturday evening concert. Mark your calendars for June 27th through 29th and get all the details at doomsdayexpo.com. Doomsdayexpo.com. Preparation starts here.
So, a natural disaster strikes, and out goes your power. You risk losing stored food in electric freezers and refrigerators. Your options: lose all that expensive food and medication, fire up a noisy gasoline-powered generator, or switch now to a propane or natural gas-powered refrigerator from Ben's Discount Supply. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com has a complete line of propane-powered refrigerators. Freezers in sizes ranging from a small camper cooler size up to a whopping 21 cubic foot refrigerator freezer or a 22 cubic foot deep freezer. In stock and ready to ship anywhere. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com also stocks a full line of solar-powered appliances to get you completely off the grid. Check out Ben'sDiscountSupply.com or call 800-771-7702. That's 800-771-7702. Or click Ben'sDiscountSupply.com for camping, home, or bug-out location. Bank on Ben'sDiscountSupply.com.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Well, all of you know my love for golf. I right now I'm a 17 handicap, but I am vowing to get that even lower. There's a great new book out called Walking with Jack, and we have the author Don Snyder with us. And here's the thing: we have Father's Day coming up, and this is a poignant and a sweet story, and maybe I'm not even describing it right, but it's really about that father-son kind of journey, and golf is such a uniter when it comes to guys, when it comes to even women. My mother played golf, and that was a cool thing that we did, traveling around playing golf when I could here and there. So, Don, you know all about that whole thing of father-son, caddying, all that sort of thing that is wrapped into this book. I'm trying not to give everything away. I'm going to let you give it all away. But thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thank you, Kate. Yeah, I'm up here in Maine, but part of this story takes place in Texas, in Houston, but I'll start at the beginning. When my son Jack was little, and I was teaching him the game of golf, I promised him that if he ever got good enough to play on a pro tour, I'd be his caddy. Really, it was just one of those promises you make to your kids, like you're going to have a litter of puppies someday and things like that. Anyway, Jack became pretty good. He went off to the University of Toledo 3 days after he graduated from high school here in Maine and made the team as a walk-on, the Division I team there. So it was time for me to step up. And if you're going to learn to be a caddy, there's only one place you can go, really, and that's St. Andrews, Scotland. So I went over there at age 58. It was wild because I knew that the key thing was going to be to get myself in good shape. So I went over in the winter, 2 months before the season started, and I stayed in a little village called Ely. And I played 36 holes a day with my bag filled with rocks from the shore in the North Sea. Got myself in shape and met the caddy master at this place called King's Barnes, an amazing course. It was ranked sixth in the world then. And he said, well, here's the deal. If you're willing to work 187 days straight without a day off, and if you never say no to a second loop, because if you do, I'll send you down the road, I'll give you a chance. So that was the arrangement. I worked that first season at King's Barnes, 187 days. I think I walked 1,000 miles, and I learned all that I could from those great Scottish caddies who were really so generous. All I had to do was tell them that I was there to learn all I could so that someday I could caddy for my son on a pro tour. And they just opened their hearts to me and taught me how to read greens and how to play in the wind and taught me how to earn the trust of a golfer, which is really that's the key relationship for a caddy. So I worked one season there, a second season at the Old Course in St. Andrews, and then my son and I met up on his first pro tour, which was the Adams Tour in Houston, Texas in the winter of 2012. We lived together, Kate, in one motel room for 4 months without killing each other. And really what I discovered was that golf, we had golf between us, and that was the common language. So, you know, you start out talking about golf, and pretty soon you're talking about life. And those were moments with my son there that every parent, you know, I think longs for, to have that kind of time with a grown-up child. It's so rare in this world because they're so busy and we're so busy. So the whole thing was a privilege to me.
Was your son, Don, shocked that you went all the way to Scotland and jump through all those hoops? What an incredible story. 1,000 miles, logging 1,000 miles, learning from some of the best caddies in the game, because they certainly, I'm saying they're the best caddies because they have crazy conditions there. When you even think of the bunkers that you have to actually take a ladder and half of them go down, and the fescue and everything else, that's an amazing thing that you did. Was he surprised by that?
Yeah, he was. You know, again, it's like you make these promises to your kids, but I was determined to keep this one. You know, Jack had a special ability, and it was more than that. It was more than the golf, Katie. It was like I had three daughters. As a father, you know you're going to lose your daughters. They're going to meet guys. They're going to move away, get married, start their lives. But I didn't. I just wanted some extra time with Jack is what it amounted to. I wanted to walk with him on golf courses for as far as long as I could. And I wanted to earn his trust the way you earn the trust of your golfer when you caddy. And I figured if I can go over there and prove myself, you know, I'm doing two loops a day at the Old Course and sending Jack emails about it. And I'm learning, you know, I'm learning what it takes to be a caddy, that would help him. You know, he could trust me as his caddy as well as his father, you know, because when it comes right down to it, when you're playing on a pro tour like we were on the Adams Tour, the father has to disappear and the caddy has to be the guy who's standing next to you. And so, yeah, it was all part of the equation there.
What's the toughest thing about caddying?
So, well, that's a good question, Kate. It's the trust. I mean, a good caddy will observe his golfer very quickly and very carefully, and after two or three holes, he will understand his weaknesses and his strengths, and he'll earn the man's trust. I mean, you start out as complete strangers on the first tee. It's like a blind date. And then by the 18th green, they're taking pictures of you to put on their mantle at home if you've done your job. And it's about not being presumptuous. It's about working together, fighting for every shot. You know, and play as if you're playing the round yourself. Now, I had an advantage because everybody I was out there with, even if it was a fellow from China who didn't even speak, we never had a common language, in my own mind, I was already out there with my son, and I was just preparing, you know. And so I cared a great deal. You find most of the caddies over there are that same way. They really care about, you know, helping the person play the best round they can. But it's trust. You know, you earn the trust of a stranger. You have the chance each time out to earn the trust of a stranger. And in this world, you know, that, to me, that really has to count for something, because there's not a lot of trust left in this world when you think about it.
Oh, I agree with you. Did it help your golf game?
No, I'm too old to have much of a golf game. I've got one of those old man swings now. You know, and after Jack left home, just playing the game wasn't the same anymore for me. I'm sitting here in a little town called Scarborough, Maine, and there's a marsh. Across the marsh is a course called Prout's Neck. We never had the money to belong to it, but we snuck on there from the time Jack was 5 years old. Whenever the weather got really bad, that all the members left, we'd go out and play, and that's where I taught him the game. And it's really interesting because one of his biggest moments as a college golfer was playing in the NCAA tournament in North Carolina, the Bridgestone Classic, you know, the great 150 of the best golfers in America there. And on the second day, a sleet storm came in out of nowhere, and all the great golfers from California and Florida sort of just melted away. But Jack shot one of only three rounds that day under par. He was in his element. And I was actually there to see it. I had flown home from Scotland at the end of the season in time to see that, which was really cool.
Once you did this, you decided, you know what, I'm going to put this down. I'm going to put a book together. Did you know, as you were in the middle of this in Scotland, that, hey, I have a book in my head. I'm going to put this together and let everyone follow this journey along with us?
No, I didn't. As a matter of fact, you know, I've spent 35 years writing books and movies, and I've been locked in rooms for 35 years, basically. And I said to Colleen, my wife, when I went over there, this is one of those times in my life, I'm just going to live this experience. And I did. I lived it every day. The only thing I couldn't do was hang out in the pubs at night with the Scottish caddies, because I had to send all my money home. Because I had three daughters in college at the time. But I was going to just live it and not write about it. But when I was down there in Houston playing on the Adams Tour, and the moments that we were having together, the good and the bad, you know, this is a love story, so it's got its measure of sorrow as well as joy. I thought, this is the same ground that all parents walk with their kids. And they might not be walking beside them as caddies, but it's such common ground. And I figured that, you know, I had to write about it, that I was uncovering some important truth there that could be of benefit to everyone else. And I think the main one is, Kate, and you mentioned you and your mom played golf. I mean, here's what I learned through the whole thing. It seems like we have forever with our kids, because when they're little, you know, they're right there in the living room all the time. But what I realized in this journey was that we only have a handful of moments, really, and you have to bear down on those moments and try to convey something important in those few moments that you have. And that's really, that's the essence of the whole story, I think.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned it, too. I mean, it's pretty easy. You can go to Wikipedia and find out everything you want to know about Don Snyder. I love that you know, you don't lay that down on people, and like you did with your wife, saying, hey, I'm just going to live this because I've been in these rooms. You've written so many wonderful things. Of everything that you put, I'm going to call it pen to paper to, I'd be remiss not to ask you this. What was your favorite thing that you wrote?
Well, I think the favorite thing that I lived was definitely this journey, this five-year journey, two seasons in Scotland, and then meeting up with Jack on the Pro Tour. I don't know. I think the favorite thing I wrote was Fallen Angel. I wrote a movie that starred Gary Sinise, who, by the way, loves golf. And that was very cool. And right now, you know, Gary is working so hard to help the veterans in this country. And Jack and I have sort of a pledge that we took to each other that this journey isn't quite yet over. What we would like to do is take some of these wounded guys back from Iraq and Afghanistan over to play the old course in the off season this fall after it slows down. Just, you know, a handful of them. And that would be really cool. And I'd love to think that maybe Gary would meet us up with us over there.
Yeah, that would be an awesome thing to be a part of for sure. All right, fascinating stuff here with Don Snyder. Hang on, Don. We're going to be back with more folks.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, colon enhancer, sea cucumber, super fam and super male plex, plus glucosamine chondroitin, our best selling liquid CalMag vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
You've seen them on Doomsday Preppers. You've seen them on network television, Shipping Wars, and the History Channel. Now, the strongest shelters money can buy are here. Atlas Survival Shelters. Made in America from 10-foot diameter galvanized corrugated pipe, up to 11 times stronger than square box shelters, and built to last up to 200 years. And you won't believe the amenities. Atlas shelters contain microwaves, refrigerators, big screen TVs, water tanks, septic systems, bulletproof hatches, and much more. Virtually everything you have at home, just buried 20 feet deep and bombproof. See the amazing Atlas Survival Shelters at AtlasSurvivalShelters.com or call 1-855-4-BUNKER. That's 855-4-B-U-N-K-E-R or AtlasSurvivalShelters.com. Financing now available. Atlas Survival Shelters. Better prepared than scared.
Don's career and the fact that you wouldn't have believed some of the things that he has written and some of the things that he has done along the way. And lastly, what about Jack? What's going on with Jack?
Well, here's the thing. At any given, Jack played very well on the Adams tour. He was right in the middle of the pack, right where I was hoping he would be. But he had made a pledge to himself that if he didn't win on the Adams tour, he was going to get a real job. It's amazing to me. He's very practical, whereas I've been a dreamer my whole life. He felt that, you know, at any given time in America, there's 1,200, 1,500 guys trying to make it to the PGA Tour, and you got to borrow money from people every year to keep going. I mean, we met people in their 30s on the Adams Tour who'd been at it since they were like 20. And Jack said, you know, if I win down here, Daddy, then I'm going to be willing to borrow the money and keep going. But if I don't,
I'm just going to, I want to get a real job and, you know, start my life. So he's working for Sherwin-Williams in Cleveland right now. He's happy. He's taking his contractors out to play golf, and golf is still a part of his life.
I love that. Are you, after this, now all these experiences done, certainly you're not quitting. What are we going to hear from you next after this? This book just flies up the bestseller list. What's next?
I don't know. I really don't know. I've been working on a couple of screenplays. I'd like to write. I have in mind writing a beautiful golf movie that does for golf what A River Runs Through It did for fly fishing. That's the thing that I'm working on right now. Something really beautiful with a couple of strong relationships at its core that really is a work of art. I'd love to be able to do that.
That sounds good. I'll tell you what, if I'm up there in Maine, I'll take you for, you know, maybe 9 holes. Or you could drive the cart and I'll...
It'd be great. We'll sneak on the golf course together.
I like that. Pick up the book, Walking with Jack. It's terrific. A father's journey to become his son's caddy. Don, what a pleasure to have you on this show. Thanks, and good luck with the book.
Well, thank you, Kate. Thanks for reaching out to me. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so Don, it's interesting, if you don't know his name, what a background he has of the novels that he's written. He talked about the one there and asking him, what was your favorite, Soldier's Disgrace. Veterans Park is another one from The Point. Fallen Angel was actually what he mentioned, but Soldier's Disgrace was another big one. Fallen Angel, Night Crossing, and Winter's Dream. And his publishers are all the big publishers for his book, Simon & Schuster and Doubleday, and some of the books that he's written have been optioned. In fact, most of his books have been optioned in Hollywood. Some of them have been made, and some of them are sitting on the shelf. That's kind of what happens. And there was a point where Oprah Winfrey was doing her show it was probably somewhere in the mid to late 80s it was actually later than that. It's probably somewhere in the 90s, because that's when she did this. She decided to produce a series of book videos to try to do for books in the United States what videos had done for music. The first book she chose for the project was his Of Time and Memory, which was a critically acclaimed memoir, and it was published, and it told the true story of Peggy Schwartz, who was a 19-year-old girl who died one day in August in 1950, 9 months after her wedding to a soldier, leaving him behind with their twin boys who were just 16 days old. And then he, of course, has gone on to a slew of different things, especially with the writing and the options for every single one of those books in Hollywood. So interesting that he had that journey with his son. Pretty cool, I'd have to say. All right, here we are in the final throes of this hour of America Tonight. And, boy, we really have talked about a couple of different things here. You know, you can always throw in your 2 cents. Keep this number handy for the next time around. When we meet, 855-266-5283. I keep getting asked that question. What is the number? 855-266-5283. One of the things that we didn't talk about that I think is incredibly significant is drones, drones, drones. Eric Holder says that drone strikes have killed 4 Americans since 2009. Well, we know where those strikes were. That is part of the AP scandal. At least that's what the Associated Press believes, because they leaked the information about one of the things they did was about a strike, and that was the Yemen affair. So in a letter to the Senate Judiciary Committee, Patrick Leahy, the Attorney General Eric Holder, said that the United States specifically targeted and killed 1 American citizen, and we know that's Anwar al-Awlaki, in 2011 in Yemen. He was allegedly plotting attacks against the United States. It doesn't take a genius to realize this. Major Nidal Hassan was a follower of al-Awlaki's and several others who have killed Americans in the name of Islamic Jihad also followed him. So Holder said the Obama administration was definitely aware of 3 other Americans who had been killed in the ops overseas, and Samir Khan, Rahman Anwar al-Awlaki, and Jude Keenan Muhammad weren't targeted. But they died in the drone strike. What's interesting and why I bring it up here at the tail end is because this letter is actually the first admission officially by the U.S. that four people were killed in that strike in Yemen, in a counter-terror strike, even though their deaths had been reported previously in the media or to the media. So I think this was just a little CYA. Put it out there because there's been several people who are trying to nail the administration for that, for the whole drone thing. And remember, that was Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul, and his filibuster wanting answers to what if an American is in here in the United States and they're in some restaurant somewhere, would you do a similar thing? What's the answer? Can the president just order that? And we know the result of that filibuster and the drone question, he got his answer from Eric Holder, who said no, that as a point of law, he couldn't just do that. The president couldn't just do that. So Holder says that the president directed him to release the details, which had been classified until now. He said that it's an unprecedented disclosure, and it was made as a way to build on the president's commitment in his State of the Union address earlier this year to continue to engage with Congress on counterterror efforts, and this is Holder, and to ensure that they remain consistent with our laws and values. So, like I said, a little CYA, because this is targeting Americans with lethal force and counterterror ops overseas, was a controversy that flared up during the confirmation hearings. You all know this, for the CIA, now CIA Director John Brennan. And I disagree with lots of other people in the media who feel that that shouldn't have happened. I think Anwar Awlaki was maybe the worst. He was a giant snake in the middle of the pit. And the fact that he was eliminated, I shed no tears for that, and good that they targeted him in Yemen. Some say the problem is the kid, his son was also with him. What was his son planning to do? Why was he there? What about the other people that were there? And, you know, he was planning a suicide op, and one of them was obvious, was the underwear bomber, Abdullah Muttalib, to blow up the U.S. plane. That was a direct link to Awlaki. As I said, this guy was a bad dude that needed to be eliminated. The other thing was he was part, for definite, he was part of that plot to blow up a plane, a cargo plane, with explosives hidden in printers. That almost happened. It was, I think, pure luck that we tripped onto that before it exploded, and that would have been an unbelievable disaster. He was very, very involved in developing, testing explosives. He wanted nothing better than to see the blood of more Americans really run through our streets. So I have no problem with that drone operation, but I think the reason they released some of the specifics of it is because of all the criticism and because of all the scandals right now that they're dealing with at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Hey, any thoughts on the show? Let her rip, americatonight.net. Click on contact and bada bing, you are in.
This message dares all fish oil consumers. Yes, many people now take fish oil supplements, but the makers of K48 Plus want you to know it's not what you consume, but how it is absorbed that counts. So we dare you to compare fish oil with K48 Plus. K48 Plus, an omega-3 powerhouse, is made with the highest grade and most potent dose of krill oil available, and is 48 times more easily absorbed than common fish oil. K48 Plus is both a remarkable anti-inflammatory as well as a powerful antioxidant. If you suffer from ailments, ailments such as diabetes, COPD, autism, arthritis, depression, migraines, lupus, Alzheimer's, glaucoma, joint pain, high cholesterol, memory loss, or Crohn's disease, you need to see the K48 Plus video at livepremium.net. That's L-I-V-E premium.net. Or please call 208-521-3601. That's 208-521-3601 and ask about K48 Plus. Restore hope. Optimize health with K48 Plus.